Now, everybody, please give us a big round of applause for What's the Safe Word?
Oh my God, no, stop, please. No, don't.
Are we at a wrestling ring?
We could be. We could be. What would your wrestling name be?
The Titillator.
Because today's first sponsor, Via Hemp, is not only going to titillate your senses, but hopefully titillate your bedroom experience as well. Now, we just had 420. Daddy, how was your 420?
It was, actually, I don't remember it. I was a little high. No, it was good. It was very good. We did a lot on 420, actually.
Like what, though?
Oh, well, we're going to get into it in today's podcast, right?
Today, we're helping you celebrate 420 the right way, even if it's not 420 anymore. Now, while we had a really good time or a really interesting time in Texas, which we're going to get into in today's pod, Via Hemp wants to remind you that they are the Swiss Army knife of wellness. Do you need to chill after a long weekend at Austin Kink Weekend?
Yes.
Do you need a gummy just for you?
Yes.
And do you ever deal with anxiety or stress?
Not really. Yes.
Okay. Then there is a gummy for that, and it comes from Via Hemp. We want to make sure that you're setting the mood right in the bedroom, and there's a gummy for that as well, as Via has developed a unique blend of pleasure-enhancing cannabinoids, libido-strengthening herbs, and low doses of THC all into one mind-blowing gummy called High Love. We're talking about pairing aphrodisiac herbs with a mild amount of THC in their best-selling High Love, which will awaken your senses, increase blood flow, and intensify your sexual experiences. Via also offers a wide range of other gummies with and without THC, each with their own unique strength and blends with effects that are catered to your routines. So remember that Via does legally ship to all 50 states in discreet packaging directly to your door. As long as you're over the age of 21, you can get 15% off and a free pack of award-winning Dreams THC CBN gummies with offer code WhatDaddy?
Watts.
At ViaHemp, ViaHemp.com. That is, again, what code?
Watts. WATTS.
At ViaHemp.com. Thank you again for personalizing our weekend with a little bit of High Love. I had some low doses as well.
Oh, I had some high doses, and that's because, and thankfully I did, because our travel experience to Texas was horrific. Ooh. And even Graylin was impressed with how much I kept my calm, and I just went with the flow through it all.
All thanks to Via Hemp. So if you want to get in the ring and really crack down on your opponent.
I love you trying to be Butch.
You need to have a safe word. It's today's safe word, Daddy, is
cannabinoid.
Welcome back to What's Your Safe Pod. I'm Amp.
I'm Mr. Christopher.
And today, can you explain what a cannabinoid is?
I can't, but could you imagine being high and trying to say that five times fast? Cannabinoid, 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 cannabinoid.
And I did it. Clearly, you are not elevated.
I'm not high enough.
And welcome back to the podcast that's got a few kinks, y'all. We are just back from Austin Kink Weekend, and we're just back from being a shadow banned again on Instagram because we did a reel.
Oh, for 420.
Yeah. All we did was say that it was 420 and we were getting elevated, and Instagram said, no, you're selling illegal products. Even though we weren't selling anything, we were just promoting Via Hemp.
Yeah, well, we did an interview on the streets for 420, and we never said anything about anything other than it was 420, and we got...
And that we were getting elevated. And if ask people if they liked 420 and the holiday. It's so wild to me.
So thanks, Via, for getting a shadow ban.
That wasn't Via's fault, but it was ridiculous. I'm so over these platforms pretending to be inclusive. Although I have heard, this might be a pro tip for y'all. If you're a queer that finds themselves getting blocked or shadow banned or their posts being taken down, and you have a business account. Now, we have What's the Safe Word, which is a quote-unquote business.
Yeah.
So there is a business account real to that.
I love that you say quote-unquote, even though it's your sole income.
Yes, but what I'm saying is I'm a person, but I have a business account as well. Ooh, your business account is...
The Supreme Court ruled that businesses are people. So
would you like me to tell you what the pro tip is or not?
No, I just...
The pro tip... Oh, the Supreme Court. Don't get me started with them. The pro tip being, if you are a business, like a proper business, leave yourself as a business account for your analytics and whatnot. But if you're just a person that has a business or is just gay trying to get those analytics and whatnot through a business account, just switch back to a personal account, because they hold the business accounts. I'm saying quoted because they put quotes around business account. They hold those to a much higher standard. which is why
you would think they would be a lower standard because they'd want your money.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're not paying them for advertising, though. So why would they?
Well, maybe that's the problem. If you paid for advertising, I bet they, because you see those like jock straps advertised and the ball hugger underwear.
Oh, absolutely.
That they're paying for that. I could never post on my Instagram.
No, right? Not at all.
Yeah.
Anyway, Instagram aside, how was your 420, Daddy? Well, or it do you want to get into good. The trips?
We were in Austin, and that was about 3 days into our Austin trip. So, yeah.
True.
Yeah. Our 420, though, we did a live broadcast of On Guard, and that went phenomenally well. So I was very thrilled with that.
And so today's pod is going to be a little bit of our travel experiences there, going to and from Austin, which was a mess in its own right, as well as the event. But I want to remind people that when we do these kind of event travel weekends, these are all meant to be constructive, critical, because we do so many of these things. Mm-hmm. But I want to especially state that, like, Austin Kink Weekend is by no means like an IML or MAL level event yet. I would say it's like a newer, small to medium. It's getting into the medium.
And this is our fourth one, right? Or third?
I think it's our third one.
Third one.
Going on 4 years.
Yes.
But it was, for all intents and purposes, I had a good time. And we'll get into the hardships. But I feel that before we get into, because we'll forget otherwise, before we get into that. Not offensive tea.
Daddy. Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about an experience that we had in Austin, and we'll go into more detail on it. All I'm going to say is, if you are an Uber or Lyft driver, have AAA. That's it. God. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, God.
So we had one that something occurred, they didn't have AAA. And
we wanted to swear at them, but instead we almost had to concuss them out. Do you get it?
No. What's concuss?
Have you ever been concussed?
That's hitting your head.
Exactly.
You're going to knock him out in the head?
No. Why? No.
It wasn't his fault.
Never
anyway,
mind.
So
we'll get to that story.
Damage happened to his, occurred to his car.
Yeah.
And then he like bemoaned the fact he had let his AAA lapse. If you're a driver, at least have roadside assistance of some sort. And I think Uber and Lyft provide it, don't they, for their cars? I've never driven.
Let's not speak on things we don't know for sure.
But anyway, so it was just this cherry on a sundae for me.
It was not a nice. I was not a sundae. I was not eating. I was not num.
And so then we felt bad for this Uber driver who was stranded on the side of the road, but we just got another Lyft instead.
True. Anyway, so this trip, I had fun at Austin Kink Weekend. Overall, though, the trip was a nightmare in many ways.
It was probably the worst travel we've ever had.
No, unfortunately. Well, maybe for you. I've had worse.
No, you're going to the Folsom last year was...
I've had worse.
Was worse, you sure. But that it turned into an unbelievably long day.
And like, I am such an... Okay, well, let's start at square one, which is traveling to the event. Austin Kink Weekend is in Austin. It is this lovely three-day event. There are four contests, a dealer's hall... We were there.
We talked about it at great lengths last year and raved about it. And it really is. It's one of my favorite events because it's so inclusive and it's so community involved.
And oriented.
Yeah.
But today's pod is definitely going to be constructive criticism for any aspiring events managers or people that are looking to expand and grow their event. But again, the beginnings here were not anyone at the event's fault, and was, I don't know, who did we like fuck that had, it was a witch maybe that gave us bad travel karma? Because I'm such an easygoing traveler, and this event almost broke me from the travel.
Well, if I literally fucked them, it wouldn't be bad karma, it would be good karma.
I don't, well,
but, so, okay, should we start with the first day? So the first day I woke up to text messages. So we were supposed to travel to Austin, Graylin, Race, Puppy and me. We have 8 bags between us to check because we're bringing merch to the show.
To add to that, we had the whole On Guard crew becoming becoming because we were doing a live taping of the show
on 420.
Yeah. Well, of all days.
It was Graylin's holiday, so we had to have a show. So anyway, I woke up to a text from Race Bannon. Our flight is delayed by 2 hours. And we had a connecting flight through San Diego, and I've been through the San Diego airport, and that was not going to work. I think we had an hour and a half already to change planes. So I got on the phone with Southwest going, what can we do? Our flight's delayed. We're going to miss our connection. So they bumped us up 3 hours earlier onto another flight that went to Denver, Colorado first, and then I thought was going to Austin after that, but apparently no. Apparently,
wait. But you didn't check the legs?
I'm talking to a person on the phone.
Oh,
they didn't tell me all the other stops it was making on the way down. They just said, "Oh, I have a flight for you that will get you there." So I'm like, "Great, let's do that." And so even at the airport, I was like, "It's really odd that we're arriving at the same time that our flight that we would have taken 3 hours later was arriving, but whatever." And so anyway, we found out that once we got to Denver that, oh no, you're flying to Phoenix. So basically backtracking
halfway.
So we went to San Francisco, Denver, Denver to Phoenix, and then Phoenix to Austin. So we got that little nugget when we showed up at the gate in Denver. And they had two flights to Phoenix side by side on those gates. It was very confusing.
But my favorite part was we were already starting the day a little later. Yep. And then
we started earlier. They pushed our flight up 3 hours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
we had to scramble
starting earlier, which means more time in my mind. Mm. And when we get there, we're told that we're going to just wait on the airplane. So it's literally the four of us on the plane in Phoenix waiting.
Oh, when we landed Phoenix?
Waiting for our final flight because we didn't even have to get off the flight. Well, about 45 minutes later, we're told, actually, this plane is broken and you need to get on a different flight.
They started checking the air conditioner with us on board.
Yeah.
And we
had to actually physically strap ourselves into the flight attendant and the pilot both came back and like, you guys have to technically buckle up
your seatbelts, even though the plane's not going to move, but we have to turn the engines on. So you have to have your seatbelts on.
It was our own personal jet.
Which is fine. I love bondage, so I was fine with it. So anyway, so then an hour into the layover, they decided, oh no, you're changing planes. And by the way, your plane's not here yet that we're going to change you to. So that turned into like a 3 or 4 hour layover. So we didn't get into Austin till about 2 a.m. We were supposed to get in at midnight, but we arrived at 2:30
because the icing on the cake, the real fun of it all was that how many bags did we have?
8 bags.
And how many of those made it to the event?
0 bags.
It was quite literally like, I was so exhausted at that point. I just started laughing when the carousel attendant that worked at the Austin airport came around.
You weren't even believing it. I'm like, okay, we got to go give us the claim checks. And you're like, no, it's going to come down. And I'm like, people, there's no one left at this
baggage claim. We're literally the only ones at 2 a.m. at the baggage claim. And the attendant came around. And thankfully, this is a reminder. Always keep those little tags that they give you when you check in your bags at an airport. Yeah. Thankfully, I had all 8 of them. Could you imagine if we didn't? Like,
yeah.
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 And so my favorite part was trying to tell these two wonderful, like, black women that were running the Austin,
the terminal, the
baggage claim. They were like, okay, well, what bags, how many bags?
Yeah. So we had to go through the size and color of each bag. And then they wanted us to name 3 things that are in each bag. Well, here's the thing. When we checked the bags in, I didn't care whose bag was whose. So I just put willy-nilly tags on everybody's bags. And so Graylin's bag got tagged with my bag and da 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 da. So anyway, so I wasn't able to figure out which bag would have what in it. So we figured out 3 of those bags had t-shirts in them. And then I was trying to think of what was in mine. And I'm like, butt plugs. Oh, I can't say that. Loop. I can't say that.
Straps. And then Graylin goes, well, I got my leather chaps in my bag.
I got my leather chaps in my bag. And this
without missing a beat.
Yeah.
Without missing a beat. One of the attendants just kind of gives us one of those like eyeballs big, like, now what kind of event are you going to, sir? And I said, well, a horse riding event, of course.
No, she literally asked, what are chaps? She said, what are chaps? And Graylin was like, oh, you know, like for riding a horse. And I just started busting out laughing. And I'm watching this other girl at the other. She was trying not to pay attention, but she was on her own computer. Intrigued. But she was fascinated now. She was in it. She wanted to know what was going on. And I just started laughing at her expressions. She's like, stop looking at me.
I will say, again, Southwest, what the heck, first of all, with all those flight cancellations, but your staff were lovely. Like, it was a bunch of terrible coincidences all hitting us all at once. And thankfully, we were pretty cool and collected and calm.
And then the other thing is, so then we try to call an Uber.
No. And then she was asking me about what my bag was, what was in mine. I said, well, a dog collar. She looks at me. And some shirts, because half of it was shirts. And also, today's second sponsor, my Manscaped toiletries, which I didn't have. And it was a very difficult night of not having. I just, when I get off a plane, I want to brush my teeth.
You want your Manscaped?
I want a razor. I want to shave down and get
comfortable. Mm,
because today's sponsor, Manscaped, is reminding you that spring cleaning is right around the corner. And if you haven't started doing that, Manscaped this season is going to be bringing you what you need to groom those carpets and drapes. Oh, do your carpets match your drapes?
Usually, yes.
Because they are the leader in below-the-waist grooming. So clear out that winter bush with Manscaped if you want with the Lawnmower 5.0 and watch your confidence bloom like the springtime flower you are. I mean, I'm always a fan of shaving, not all the way down, but at least trimming up to make yourself look and feel especially sexy, whether you're doing chastity or not. So join 10 million people worldwide who trust Manscaped with our special offer code by going to manscaped.com and using offer code
LOTS20
to get 20% off and free shipping. Now, Daddy, what do you like when it comes to Manscaped? I mean, the lawnmower, obviously.
I like the weed whacker because it gets around my septum ring.
As well as the Beard Hedger Pro Kit because it gets Daddy's beard nice and trimmed.
I need all sides. I don't have to go to the barber anymore.
So if you'd like to get 20% off, maybe get your own travel shed, which was missing in our bags because our bags were lost at the airport. Again, you can use that offer code and get free shipping as well as 20% off. Thank you again, Manscaped.
So we had no bags, but they gave us a little toiletry kit, not Manscaped, to take with us. And so then you called an Uber. And so we go out to and for some reason, the Austin airport, the Uber is like a mile away through these parking garages.
Which at 2:30 a.m. or 3 at that point, we had to fill out so much paperwork for those bags.
It was a lot. And so we get there. Uber is saying it's like right next to us. And we could not find this ghost car to save our lives. But there was like a row of taxis. They looked a little dodgy. Actually, I think it was a Dodge. And so I'm like, okay, we have no bags. We can all fit in one cab. Let's just grab a cab and let's go. I just want to get to
the Uber
hotel.
Didn't come. I called the Uber three times. And then he text messaged me saying, I'm here. And I said, hey, I called you. Answer, please. He calls me. I answer. And he says, I can't pick you up, and hangs up.
Well,
after waiting and it says, hey, your Uber is here. Go to the spot. We're literally standing in the spot.
I know.
And I don't know what that was about.
I don't either. They ghosted it was a ghost
us.
Car.
Yeah, they ghosted us. Yeah.
So anyway, so the cab driver that's in the front of the queue. So we're like, can you take four of us? And he's like, oh, yeah, absolutely. But he had so much shit in the front seat that he had to put it in the back. Graylin closed the trunk on him a couple times while he's trying to put something.
It was 2 a.m. and we were exhausted.
Anyway, we finally get to the hotel. And
do you remember what happened when we tried to check in?
Yes.
At 4 a.m.
At 4 a.m. Then, so we had rooms booked. And the lady behind the counter, who talked to herself a lot.
Okay, you can't give her a hard time, Mr. Talks to Yourself sometimes. I'll be doing
something. Okay, do you want to tell the story?
Sure.
Okay.
And she's checking us in, and we're halfway through using your ID to check in, and she goes, oh, no, I checked you into their room, speaking to Race and Graylin, who had their own room, And I just checked them into your room.
And I was like, I don't care. Just give me a key. It doesn't matter. They're interchangeable.
So over every... I was just laughing at everything that was going wrong by the end of the first day of travel. Because...
And thankfully, I was on Via, so I was just like, mellow.
Okay.
I was like, uh-huh. Just give me a bed. Let's go.
We were constantly, and we were tracking. We were like, okay, if the bags get here that day, not the next day, because it was already the Friday. We had been traveling all day. Sure. They would have gotten in around like noon or so if we're lucky. What time does the dealer's hall open?
Okay, when we do these events, this is where I was getting frustrated.
Yeah,
because I had asked the event organizer three times for the schedule. I had no idea what the vendor market schedule, and they kept changing it on the website. Sometimes it'd be up, sometimes it'd be down. And then we found out the reason why was they didn't want to get doxxed, right?
Well, so
they didn't want people knowing where the hotel was in Texas, which I totally get.
Yeah.
But I was like, please just send me a copy of the schedule so I know vendor hours at the very least. Never got him. So it's 4 a.m. I texted the event organizer and said, our bags didn't come. We can't set up anyway. So I don't know what time the vendor market opens, but we can't set up until our bags arrive. Thankfully, our bags did get there around 1 p.m., which I was shocked.
Yeah.
I did not expect that.
But I do want to stop and do talk about, like, so previously, last year, there was a problem with, they didn't want the event to get doxxed. They didn't want the event to have protesters and people because Texas is a very conservative state.
Yeah.
And the week leading up to the event, there was a schedule up, kind of, not fully posted. But there was enough of a schedule up where we had very much libs of TikTok derivative accounts. It wasn't the libs of TikTok, but it was people working under the same guise and the same like rigmarole. And we're doxing some of the educators, people running for the event, people helping to organize, because there was enough info online that you could probably find someone very easily.
Yep.
And there were some educators, I don't know their full background, but educators that do teach in their full-time gig, which there's nothing wrong with, especially when you keep your lives separate in that way. And people do that in Texas. You mean
our actual teachers?
Yeah, actual teachers. And I don't care what you're doing at the kink event, if you're doing it professionally, as long as, and then what you're doing your professional job professionally and keeping those worlds absolutely split. But it was causing a bunch of stress on this event.
Yeah.
And I want this because to be a moment. Because
they were publicly doxxed.
Yeah. They were publicly doxxed. They were posted on Twitter and I don't think Instagram, but at least Twitter, because I saw the posts and the reposts. To the point where they had a list of politicians and people online, like pictures of these people that were on a flyer pretty much saying, do not let these people into this event or into the bar events happening or into the contest.
You mean Austin Kink Weekend?
Yeah. Well, and the Eagle and the other bars that were part of the event as well.
Yeah.
And I want to commend the event for trying to do their best that they could by taking down the schedule and taking away any addresses. But I will say it caused a lot of confusion to the point where people that were attending like that morning as we were getting up and ready were like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Like not vendors, random people being like, hey, do you guys know what time this closes? And me and Daddy are not only sleep deprived, but finally getting our bags and we're just trying to set up and we're like, I don't know.
So apparently they did have a schedule that was posted once you register and you used a QR code on your registration.
Yeah.
But because we hadn't registered yet, I had no way of knowing that schedule.
And so after we registered and got our stuff as a vendor, I still didn't know my details that were in the system because we didn't do all of that.
Right.
Yeah. So it was, I liked that they tried to pretty much paywall the schedule, which is smart, but there needs to be an easier way to access that. So like maybe a QR code that has a code on the QR. Well, no, because then people that somehow attend and get in could. But if it's inside the event, they'd have to get inside the event.
They did put a schedule up on the wall, but it was inaccurate.
Yeah. And then that was the other thing is we woke up thinking it was the vendor was opening at one time and then being texted by people saying like, where are you?
Yeah. So anyway, so long story short, the vendor market did open at 9 a.m. Obviously, we did not make that.
Okay, guys, on a Friday, 9 a.m. on a Friday for an event weekend in Texas of all places. I'm not saying people won't be there, but that is so early.
So anyway, we got in there at 1 and probably because we were late, discovered there wasn't really a space for us anywhere. So they found a little corner for us, which actually was next to Leather Daddy Skincare. So I was okay okay with it. At first, I was like, okay, it's not big enough, but we'll make it work. Yeah. So Leather Daddy and Cockeyed Kink were right next to us, which are good friends of the show. So, and we had our own little room, which was nice. Off of the entrance.
I will say that little room had the worst above headlight. We ended up taking a piece of plastic.
No, I took, that was a garbage bag. I took a white garbage bag and put it over the fluorescent light and gaff taped it all around just to have decent lighting because it was horrific fluorescent lighting. So, but that was homophobic.
As our bags got in there and we were setting up our booth, very basic, you know, we know how to do this. Cubes, we've got banners, we've got our shirts, we've got some eggplants, which sold out. But I want to make a very constructive, in the nicest way possible, comment that the event is not a small event anymore.
No.
They have enough space that it is a medium-sized event. And there needs to be some more volunteers that know the whole system of operations, mm-hmm. because the people in charge of the merch and the vendor part had no idea we were coming, didn't have any of our information, mm-hmm. didn't have us anywhere in the booking because we worked with the event organizer, right. who we've always used.
Right.
And there should have been a bit of changing of responsibilities there, I think, because it caused a lot of grinding. So
what this reminds me of is Claw about 2016, 2017.
Yeah.
Claw was about this size. And they were growing in numbers. Their classes, they had a lot of classes on the book. And the word of mouth was getting out there. And so they went through some growing pains. They shifted hotels. They went to a bigger hotel and then a bigger hotel. And so they had some of this similar growing pains that I suspect Austin Kink Weekends is going through right now.
Yeah.
Because it's a popular event now.
And and that's why I want it to be seen as constructive, because every time the volunteers came by, they were super apologetic. They were very much, what can I do?
But they were overwhelmed.
Because I would say something like, I just need a table to put our stuff on.
Yeah.
And 2 hours later, we didn't have a table.
Yeah.
And then like Cockeye Kink or Leather Daddy Skin Co. like walked around the corner, looked in this one room, was like, there's just a table here. Can you use that?
No, actually Cockeye Kink said they had a table in their van that they had let us use. And as we were walking to the van, you bumped into one of the liaisons and they're like, oh, I was like, we're still looking for a table. And he's like, oh, that's over here. So it had been leaning against a wall for about 2 hours. And I'm like, okay.
I know. And I don't want to be a bitch about it. I don't want to be like, where's our table? But at that point, it was like, we just needed a table to put our stuff on. Yeah, like, it wasn't a big deal.
We had a table.
But it's a matter of like the small little things. If you're running an organization or looking to start a new affair or an event, just make sure you got a team of people. And I realize that takes money to make sure people are paid or the volunteers are at least properly compensated. But it was the small things like that that just it needed a few more people to delegate with.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't that the staff was bad. The staff was lovely and apologetic and doing everything within their power to help us. I just don't think there was enough staffers.
Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of those miscommunications kind of fell.
And that's what happens as you grow, right? Mm-hmm. And so you learn from mistakes from previous years so that you can implement them in the next year and improve. What I did like was, so last year they used this hotel as a host hotel, but not as a vendor market.
Yeah.
So the vendor market was at this other outdoor space, which I kind of liked. It was a nice
multi-purpose.
Yeah, it was outside.
It was like 15-minute drive away.
Right. So this is the first time they used this hotel. So I can think it was a learning curve for both the hotel and the event, because the hotel didn't know what to expect with all these kinksters there.
Like, for instance,
yeah,
they had a food station out in the main hallway space, but then the popper booth across from them, like, hey, people can't test our goods because there's fried chicken right here, yeah. Which is like, of course the hotel wouldn't know that.
And of course, I discover this as soon as I went to get food and the food was gone. Well, so I was like, damn it, where'd the food go?
Yeah. It was a new space. Like it was an all-in-one hotel space convention, kind of like MIR, where it was a multi-level, like downstairs that had a bunch of just random corners that vendors were in.
Yep.
And then a large convention hall area where they had the dances as well as the contest at some point.
But this is still Friday. This is our very first day. Like, we are getting set up. We only vended for like 3 hours.
Well, yeah, because we didn't get set up till 2 and the vendor market ended at 6.
But y'all were really supportive and lovely and wonderful. We sold out, like, we sold like 15 eggplants that first day, I think, because everyone wanted an eggplant, our little stuffed animals. But then we eventually get cleaned up and we ended up going to the Eagle that night,
which was lovely. And so one of the fun things that happened, I don't know if I can say their names, but, there was a couple that we met last year who were amazing, cigar smokers. So they had asked, Race to ask me to send them our logo for On Guard.
Yeah.
And they made a personalized box of cigars for each one of us on the panel. So the Pig, Graylin, Race, me, and they all had our names on the label and the logo. And it was a box of like 25 cigars.
So each cigar had its own little label that said Mr. Christopher on it.
No, it's called The Christopher.
Oh, The.
Not Mr.
God, not, don't
the
give him, Christopher. Don't give him.
The Christopher.
And what does the Christopher's taste like?
Oh, it tastes like sweat and nipples. It's good.
Wasn't it an asylum?
No, it wasn't. It was barber shop pole, but it was not the Asylum brand. It was their tobacco, actually.
They literally, though, gave each of you a different cigar, didn't they?
Yeah.
Like, they customized it to what you guys liked, apparently, which
flavor,
I didn't know.
Flavor palette. So Graylin had more of an acid one, and yeah.
Cigar sponsors when you guys have been trying to get a cigar sponsor on Guard, I know, and
but those little personal touches really and what's really fun about traveling to show is people do bring us gifts from time to time. Like, there is a person at Darklands every year who brings me Stroop waffles. And because he heard that I liked those on the show once. And you know what? I just ate my last Stroop waffle from Darklands last night.
Wow. So you snuck in the German Stroop waffles into America.
They're not
canceled.
No, you're
canceled.
That's legal. They're not pot Stroop. Well, they're not Vaya.
No, they're not. But those two also got me a customized little like 3D printed box and put like six very well packed large joints in a box. So, because they knew that I didn't like cigars, and it was very kind of
them.
That's
sweet. Did they say the amp?
No, they were just normal. They were just like they're sativa blended, and I said that's great,
perfect.
And we almost smoked all of them.
We did.
Not me only between the four of us
Graylin.
And sharing with Graylin.
Yeah.
But even then, like, people were so like, oh, you have pot. Oh, you can't. Don't let anyone see. This is Texas. You can't do that.
You went out front and started smoking, and there was a cop car across the street.
Smoking. I was looking around. I'm
like,
trying
this is
to
not
find a
California,
lighter.
Girl.
I did not start smoking, for the record. Don't even try that. I was conscious of it, but also there was no one in the cop car. It was just the cop car that was stationed there.
Yeah.
Anyway, and we got situated in our hotel room finally with all our stuff. We put up the 420.
That was the other thing. We got to our hotel room and realized they had given us a king size bed, and the pig was coming the next day. So we had to change rooms on top of that the next day. It was so fun.
But we get situated and we actually went out to the Eagle that night. And the Eagle there has only been around for about a year. But that was the very first like after hours event for the actual convention itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that because at the door, they would ask for your badge or your wristband. And they actually had to, they stopped someone at the door. Somebody actually tried to sneak in from that list of do not let into the event.
Oh, you're kidding. Really?
No. So literally one of those people that were trying to dox and ruin the event for everyone got into the event or was trying to get into the event. And thank God the security was aware. They had their little flyer to double check and they were promptly escorted out before anything bad happened.
Oh, thank God.
But yeah,
I didn't know that.
Scary. Well, a few people told me about it the next day and I was like, oh my God, that's. And see, this is where like I want this to be seen as so much love for the event because nevertheless, they persisted through doxing, through people trying to get them canceled, through changing to new event venues, to growing because there was a lot. I felt there was a lot more people this year.
Yeah.
And there was a lot more space in that convention hall for the contest and it was full. Like, and through all that, four different contests, the Miss contest, the Mr. contest, the trainer, and then the puppy contest, getting all that done, having vendors, having food, having alcohol. Like if you've never run a convention, because I've run conventions back in my day, That is a lot to do on top of doing it in a new space where you know nothing about this new hotel. Right. You know, you know nothing about if where the tables are or where to put the food or where to put the. Did you see the ball pit? For the puppies that I never
I
saw
did. It was by the
in.
Bar.
I know, but it was like the lighting of that room was so harsh.
The fluorescents have got to go. I'm sorry. It was or pretty
just,
bad.
Like, cover them with some red films or something to make it sexy.
To be fair, I don't think the lighting at IML is any better in that.
Well, the lighting doesn't work at that IML because the hotel's so old.
No, I know, but it's pretty bad lighting as well. So, you're stuck with the venue's lighting unless you bring your own in, like dark lens.
I'm just saying, little tidbits. But what I liked was they did have a little puppy playroom and an ABDL or age playroom. And it was like the little color coordinated, corrugated like padding that you can link together. Mm-hmm. And then a small little ball pit inside of a pool.
I saw the ball pit. It wasn't
thoughts.
It wasn't inviting to me. And I never saw anyone in it.
I didn't see anyone in it, but the thought was there and I appreciated it.
Okay.
It was kind of sad. No, I'm not jumping in a ball pit post COVID world. Sorry. But the bartenders next to it just looked kind of like sad.
Oh, that was interesting too. Cause the bartenders were hotel staff and I think they just thought they were being hired to like do a normal like banquet, like thing.
Yeah.
I don't think they were at all prepared for the volume of people getting drinks because gay queer events, we drink.
But there was also five people for one little booth and I only ever saw one person on the alcohol and one person on the cash register.
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah. But anyway, that's some typical hotel stuff.
So Friday night we did go to the Eagle. It was really cute. They have a wonderful outdoor space. My favorite part about the outdoor space, the Eagle, is there's a little drive-through window as if it was a KFC at one point. And I really just want them to start serving drinks out of it because it's just the cutest little thing. But there's so much space outside. Like you guys got to smoke.
Oh, I loved. Hanging out at the Eagle, smoking a cigar and just meeting everybody and hanging out was the highlight of my trip there.
And then this is where AAA. Where we grab a car from the Eagle back to the hotel.
Yeah.
All four of us.
And Uber.
And a little, actually, it's not, you guys keep saying Uber. I only use Lyft.
Okay, but whatever.
I know. I'm just saying.
It's like OnlyFans just for fans. Everyone says OnlyFans, even though they mean just for fans.
Kleenex versus tissue. No. Yeah. We are halfway back. Like it's this tiny-ish car as far as Texas cars go. It was small.
But, it was a lowrider for one.
Yeah. Well, I wish it wasn't.
It was kind of a fancy car. It was nice. Small. It was nice. But it's kind of a souped up car.
And it turns out souped up cars, when they drive over medians.
So he pulled out of the bar and hit. And I didn't see it because we were in the back seat. We just felt it. He was like, boom, 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 boom. And he like went over this huge median.
On the driver's side, he's turning left.
Blew his tire. But the puppy hit his head on the roof of the car.
So I'm sitting in the back on the left side and we're turning left and he hits the median on the left. The front, I don't think got as much as the back did because the back, we flew a good couple inches up. I'm tall in the back seat.
Yeah.
I hit my head to the point where I see white. Like, I'm worried if I got a concussion, literally. And
you had a seatbelt on, too.
I did.
I did not.
Okay, well, that'll teach you.
Well, hey, I didn't hit my head on the ceiling, did I?
I can hit your head right now. And so he drives for another like couple minutes and then he's start like, hearing this. We literally hear parts of the car fall off.
Yeah. I hear this clunk, 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 clunk.
And he's like, well, I think I need to stop.
No, like, actually, first he did a group announcement. He was like, I think I hit something. Like, no shit. And he's like, but your hotel's not that far. Do you mind if I just push through? And we're like, sure. It's your car.
But it doesn't sound
like a good idea. And then, so he kind of passes the first freeway exit. He stayed on the side streets. He didn't get on the freeway. And then we're going through like a business park and that's when, and we kept, I was watching his dashboard. The tire light kept coming on then going off and then coming on then going off. And I'm like, okay, he's fucked up his tire. And so then we start to feel the So he's like, I think I have to pull over.
This man broke the axle of one of his wheels. He broke one of the tires. Completely popped.
What he did.
He had to pull over into the A+ credit union. So we're just standing there outside of this broke, like this closed, rundown credit union on the side of the freeway in the middle of nowhere, Texas.
And that's where he starts in on the, I don't have AAA. Oh no, what am I going to do? And so, of course, the pig is drunk. And so he's like, oh my God, do you need help? What can we do? And then he like turns to me and goes, you know how to change a tire. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. I am not changing a tire right now.
I'm at the point of just laughing. Me and Graylin are on the side just like, what are we doing?
I know. And I'm like, call another Uber. Let's get the fuck out of here. Let's go. Call another Lyft. Sorry. So we did, but it was 8 minutes till the next one came. And
yeah,
Pig, meanwhile, every 2 minutes, the guy was on the phone to someone. He didn't really start to change his tire. He was just kind of sitting in his...
He was on the phone with Lyft. He was like requesting, like, so he was sitting there on the phone. Help to the guy, but it was.
And
yeah,
every
was
2 minutes, the pig would be like, "Are you sure you're okay?" I'm like, "Pig, quit asking that question." Because what are you gonna do to offer help? There's nothing you can do.
The event itself, like, we eventually get back to the hotel. It's fine. But we're just like so tired and exhausted. We're also running on no sleep.
And this is like 24 hours of being there.
Not even.
What else could happen?
Because it's only like 11 p.m. We're not even at our 4 a.m. yet, you know, when we landed previously. Jesus. But we sleep well that night. Uh-huh. The following day is finally the holiday of the season. It was 420. Everyone was in a great mood. I smoked at least two of those six joints, maybe three.
I did, Maya.
We got the Via video up where we were interviewing mm-hmm. people on the street. If you haven't seen that video, it is a very funny video.
Oh, I don't know how you got that the video up, though, because the internet was non-existent in that hotel.
I did not sleep the night before our flights because I got that up. Worked very hard to get that up previously on Klee. And it was very much a struggle getting that video up. I had to upload it a few times while still home. And one of the three times we uploaded it, this is the fifth week in a row I've had to upload the same video five times to get it properly monetized. And our videos, when they're monetized, pop off. They do great. Like, it's
because they know they can share them.
Yeah, because YouTube gets to make money off of that when they finally monetize it. But every single time, it's a different human having to review it. And sometimes those humans are flawed, you know, much like our Uber driver ended up, you know.
Yeah, I still don't know how he hit a median.
It was a low riding car.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a person.
So anyway, the next day... And then we never got a clear answer as to when the vendor market opened again
on
the next day. Yeah. And I asked multiple people.
And the other vendors didn't know either.
Yeah. So I was like, so someone said it was 9 again. So I got up and I let the puppy sleep in. I got up at 9 to go open the booth. I get there. No one's there. And then somebody says, oh, no, they changed it to 11. And I'm like, oh, motherfucker, I could have slept in for an hour. So I go and get something to eat and I walk back around 10 and everything's open. And all the booths are open. I was like, okay, I guess I'll stay here. It's just like I never got a clear
answer. I'm in the room making sure the episode gets up. Daddy says, everything's open. And I'm just like, wait, but it's not noon yet or whatever time I was told. It was confusing, but like it was very laid back in that way. I will say that Austin Kick Weekend is fun. It's different. They had a whole Lego city. You could make your own little Lego guy.
Fun.
They had a photo booth.
So we got to make little miniature versions of ourselves out of Lego, and they had a whole Legoland with all the people that were there.
It was a Lego Stonewall mm-hmm. and like a Lego, a little New York street. There were little signs. The organizer, Wonder Woman, printed out little signs that said, what's the safe word in Bratty Daddy that we can mm-hmm. put on our little Legos and then take. It was very cute. Like the quirkiness of the event, it still being that medium size, that small to medium size, made for nice moments like that.
Yeah.
It made for nice moments where we were able to sneak out to the pool and have a little joint. and made for nice moments where like they had their own little photo booth there, which at a large event would be impossible to do. There'd be too many people. But at this photo booth, you step up and they had really nice photos to
take. The photo booth was really good and clever on how they did that. Because then they would, you could buy different photos that were taken of you. And the technology that they used to do that was very clever.
Well,
what?
The technology they used to do all that was they would take a photo of your face, like scan it in 3D, so that when the photo system they were using, I'm guessing it's Adobe of some kind, could find your face and it would tag all the photos of you in them. So the next day after I did a little photo shoot by myself, but also with the On Guard boys and you, I got a text saying, "Oh my God, you were spotted in the photo booth." And the photo, it sent me a link. I click it and it said, "You were found in one photo out of probably like 30 photos that we took the night before." And I look at it, it's the photo they took of me to scan my face to make sure I was, so it wasn't even a nice photo. It was just an iPhone photo.
It's like a driver's license
photo. They fixed it easy enough, but it was very much, an awkward driver's license photo. And I was like, "Hey, I paid for the package for our photos and all I got was an iPhone photo." And they were very apologetic. Like, they were easy to work with. But it was just, it kind of, at that point, I was like, nothing's going to work this weekend, and I'm okay with that. I'll be okay.
Well, the good news is that we had our show to do that on Saturday. And so we had packed all the equipment that we needed. Thankfully, everything got there. The organizers had worked with me earlier to build this scaffolding on this stage that we could hang our banner and boom mics from. That went off like clockwork. I was thrilled with that. I grabbed some chairs from the dining room, the lobby basically for our set. And then we had a really interesting, so we interviewed a drag queen in Texas named Bridget Bandit, who's been at the forefront of fighting all the hate against drag queens there in Texas.
Literally a part of the organization and the coalition that went and spoke in front of many a politician, to make sure that their voices were heard.
Yeah. And so she was half an hour late, but that was fine. She had a wardrobe malfunction, she said. But we were trying to keep on schedule so that she had another event to go to. So we had a hard hour out. Thankfully, everything went so smoothly, and that's not always the case. Usually we have a microphone issue, or we have we're there for 45 minutes trying to get some camera to work right, or sound issue. We pulled that one off very smoothly, and the audience was great. I was a little concerned because the drag queen we chose was a cis woman, and thought we might get a little pushback on that. But we decided to go ahead with it because we had already interviewed two drag queens that weren't on the show. And we thought this would be a very unique perspective.
To be fair and clear, born AFAB, so assigned female at birth, but does identify as non-binary as well.
Right.
So just to be clear, which made her story not only interesting, but something that you don't hear every day. And her experience of going in front of politicians who are treating her like a man.
Yeah.
When, in fact, born female at birth, but also is non-binary, that totally fucks with any definition they try to write about a drag queen, man, quote unquote, man in a dress.
So it was an interesting ally to have.
Yeah. And what an eloquent speaker she as well.
She was great. Even Graylin was a little sour about this as well. And she clapped back so hard on him. I was like, "Ooh, girl." And the audience was nothing but supportive. So I'm thrilled, and I can't wait for that show to come out.
Yeah. Graylin and Bridget had a moment, but she was so kind and so, so forgiving of being like, "Well, let me educate you on that." And that's what I love the most about the conversation. Like, we talked about, AFAB and AMAB and making sure we're clear about the definitions, but not shaming. And then Graylin had a bit of a hard time comprehending, well, what about all the things that gay drag queens, the men in the dresses, as we worked through the AIDS crisis and the epidemic, and then, Stonewall, the gay men did that. Having a valid experience there does not invalidate other people's experiences.
And that's what she said as well.
Yeah. And she, again, eloquent. You guys will love this
episode. You'll love this episode. Yeah.
But what I what I valued about her as a guest is it also, while everything went off without a hitch, you guys sounded great. You looked great. Like I've never
thank you very much.
Seen or heard an On Guard that was to this caliber, I will say.
Wow. We're so taking it to the next level.
I'm very happy with how it went.
And that's because you could control the audio. We're not sitting outside smoking around a fire pit with wind and crows going, ca-ca, ca-ca.
But what I loved was it was a bit controversial for some people. The guests were all lovely, but you and I heard through the grapevine, that there was someone a little perturbed and a little upset that we talked to a cis female, as they put it, and that there were so many other gay men, drag queens that we could have talked to. I want to push back on that and say, yes, there are tons of wonderful, amazing queer drag queens of the gay variety, the male variety in Texas, but there is no one that has stood in front of Congress, corrected politicians again and again and again on their gender and their identity, but also that is an ally and still a valid story that we don't hear a lot about.
And yeah, it was the resume that moved us and the eloquence with which she could speak. So it is one thing to have a guest on a show. Sometimes they don't know how to talk. They may be really good at what they do, but it can be a hard interview if they're not, you know, talkative and
trained,
and entertaining and trained and witty.
She's social media. She's quick. She's beauty. She's grace.
So we have to take all those factors in consideration when we're choosing a guest. And there's tons of eligible guests and we'll get to them. It's just, we do, this is only our 21st episode.
It also helped though that Bridget was, so my friend Lori, who we ended up hanging out with some of my stream friends the last day too. Right. We'll get to that. But my friend Lori, streamer, drag queen, Bridget is her drag mom.
Right.
So it was a very easy lift as well. And thank you again to Lori and Bridget. But like, it just made all the planets aligned, the times aligned. And Bridget was lovely.
She was amazing.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
So please go check her out on social media.
Our 420 was great.
It was.
Yeah.
And we ended up going, did we go out again that night?
I had a play date.
Oh, that's right.
Night.
You went and played. I watched RuPaul. Which for my, okay, here's my brief, very quick Lollapalooza reviewza. The person I wanted to win didn't win, but the person that did win has a wonderful color palette that they have most weeks. And yellow, she was great. I love her. Wonderful, beautiful, gorgeous. Third place, we all kind of knew was going to be in third place, I think.
Well, that night, so I had a play day, which it was amazing. So I had a great time, but I was done by 9. And then they had the contest that night, which was a pretty good contest, I have to say.
I will say that was the moment where even though there were so many things, like by our 6th kerfuffle of something going wrong, I was grabbing a drink in the lobby of the contest area while the contest was happening. They were stretching for time. It happens at every contest. I will say they needed a bit more organization of the contest reading points, I think, that because it took a little longer than normal.
But that's typical.
That's typical. Contest, yeah. But I'm standing next to Race and a bunch of other friends and other vendors, sipping on a drink, a little stoned for sure because it was 420. But I was watching the step down of Miss Texas Leather 2023 and was just reminded that no matter the tech issues, no matter the travel difficulties, no matter the exhaustion or the homophobes that are trying to ruin the event, the point of these events is to provide a space for people to learn, to grow, to stand out, to find community. And within that moment of just standing in the lobby of the contest, I was having one of those, oh, this is really nice. Like, fuck the complexities of my complexion that day. I had a zit. It was, delays aside, the kinks, pun intended, aside, we were having fun. Everyone was looking great. The contestants that were stepping down from last year and those that stepped up this year were all, they all did an amazing job.
Yeah.
And so I hope that, again, this is taken as so much love for the event because they worked it out and they worked through so many hardships. And I'm excited to see what they do next year because I think that given they take this criticism that they're going to get from, I'm sure, many people in the community, not just us, I hope they don't take this as a negative because at the end of the day, no one ever comments on YouTube about how great the video is. They comment about, oh, you're wrong about that fact.
Yeah.
You shouldn't say that to that person. That is the incorrect pronoun. And you're going to get a lot of those comments, while not hateful, are very aggressive sometimes.
Yeah. And then they also had a dance planned off site, but because of the rain, they moved it over to where the contest was.
Yeah, which actually kind of made it nicer.
I kind of liked it because I didn't have to leave the hotel.
You can kind of just bop in there. Yeah. But we called it a pretty early night, though, because the following day we had...
Again, didn't know
thing.
When we had to start we, the vendor again, market.
We got a text from someone being like, hey, where are you guys? And we're like, we're in bed. Also, when does this end? I don't know what time this is.
Oh, no. They originally had told me I was fit to be tithed because they someone told us the vendor market was from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m.
On the last day?
On the last day.
Oh, God, no.
Or
oh, God, no.
One of the days. I don't remember at this point, but I was like, you cannot make us work for 13 hours. I said, I'm going to get a sign that says union and I'm going to go buy all the booths
Stop.
And
say,
fall on union.
Okay.
Union.
It was a small enough event. We could just say our booth was closed, put a little drape over it and it was fine, which we did at least once or twice just to make sure we were able to film on guard, for instance. But we packed it up real quick. We were staying an extra day because we wanted to fly out nicely the next day and not feel rushed, which meant we had a nice night to go and have dinner. We found this place outside. We went with
restaurant.
Some of our friends, Lori included. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we get dessert. And of course, we go to this little ice cream place across the street, which had like 40 flavors, which were amazing.
It was so good. Graylin saw it as we...
Amazing.
Graylin clocked that as we pulled into the parking lot and Poor was dinner. Waiting for the dinner to be over to go to the ice cream place. So we went over and we get there and this cute kid behind the counter
okay,
was like...
No, no, no. Wait, before that, I'm over here talking with Lori and friends and they're like... You know, oh, well, how went this podcast and that podcast? And I was like, yeah, we enjoy what we do. And they're like, yeah, but do you guys ever get like overwhelmed by people recognizing you? And I was like, well, outside of the convention space, it never really happens. I turn around, you're getting free ice cream.
Graylin's like, oh my God, there is no God.
because
the kid behind the counter recognized me and fangirled a little bit. And I always like that. We took a picture. I got some ice cream. It was all good.
Yeah, thanks for getting me free ice cream. I had already paid at that point waiting for you. Anyway, the ice cream was really good.
Bitter.
No, I actually got a very sweet ice cream. Mm-hmm. I got what was like, it was like a sticky butter.
What was funny about that, though, was Graylin was giving me such a hard time for being recognized. But when we were at the airport the next day flying out, we were in line to get ribs because he wanted to get ribs while he was in Texas. And somebody recognized him from On Guard.
Oh, really?
And yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And so I was like, aha, see?
That's sweet.
And so we took pictures. It was a man wanted to get a picture for his wife. Because
he recognized such a diverse community. I love that.
Yeah.
And then this motherfucker right here. And then
why are you pointing at me?
Because it's you. our flight's actually getting home all perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Nothing went wrong.
It was
great.
It was a little delayed, but it's fine.
But because we were a group of four, we weren't always sitting together. But who gets a little napkin during the drink service? Do you not remember this? You got a little napkin.
Yeah, I was sitting there and this guy, one of the stewards, what do you call them? Stewards?
Flight attendants.
Flight attendants walked by me and dropped a napkin in my lap. I'm like watching my iPad, a movie on it. And I'd like unfold this napkin and read it. And it was like super, super nice. It's like, I don't know. I think I recognize you. Are you Mr. Christopher? Would it be possible to get a picture? And unfortunately, we were landing, so I couldn't really get up to go do anything about it. And so as I was disembarking, he was at the front and I said, hey, you wanted to get that picture? And so we did. And
very kind.
However, I did not get a free drink out of it. Because he was in your section of the plane and not mine.
I
was in the back, you were in the front.
Yeah. And he was very kind and sweet. But didn't offer me a free drink either.
I put the note on my Twitter.
We don't expect free drinks. I want that to be very clear. But it's always really.
I kind of do.
No, stop it. Just because you're getting free ice cream over here, okay? I'm just saying, I don't expect it. But
no, it's been weird. So I used to get, so when I directed for Colt and stuff, I would always wear a Colt hat on the plane. And usually I'd get a wink and a nod
hilarious.
From a flight attendant and get thrown a drink here or there. Because it was kind of like flagging gay back in the 2000s. Now with what's the safe word, I don't know who is going to recognize you and where. And our audience is so diverse, it could be anyone. So it's no longer just gay men. It's anyone. And it always stuns me when it happens.
I'm always impressed. For instance, I did not know that the Grayling thing happened because me and Race were getting food. Mm-hmm. But I like a husband grabbing a picture for his wife about a gay cigar
that never used salon to happen.
Show. Like, that's fascinating, wildly interesting, hilarious in some ways.
Yeah.
But something to be thankful for.
No, I love it every single time. I love it.
It was a good weekend. We got home safe. We took that day out to like just unwind when we got home.
How good was it to get in your own bed though?
Oh my God. So nice. I took some Viya and sat back and watched like 20 episodes of One Piece. And
although I think Race and Graylin have a different story because we had 8 bags, so we couldn't all fit in the same Uber. Yeah. So
poor guys,
we took off in one left and they went to get another. I was literally laying in my bed at home when
they texted us and said,
Race texted us and said, no, he didn't even say that. He said, we just got our lift.
Oh my God.
And I was like, holy shit, that was an hour ago.
It's probably because we called an XL because we had so many bags, and that gets like the priority, quote unquote priority. Yeah, nice, but
there's
service.
More like Uber and Lyfts out there. I know. Okay.
Maybe Grayling's rating is bad.
Which, let's start that rumor.
For the record, my
you didn't hear that
4.95
here.
And no. But no matter where we got home, my favorite note from the weekend, because it was just kind of a constant of like, when does something start? I don't know. One person, we were in this little group of people, and I was like, I don't know when the vendor hall closes today. And someone turns to me and they just go, at King conventions, time is ethereal.
Ethereal? I've got things to do. I am planning hookups. I need set times.
And you had many hookups. And
no, I had 2. Let's not go overboard with the many.
A couple hookups.
I had 1 Saturday night and I had a really amazing 1 Sunday night so you could go out with your friends.
That's so kind of you.
I know, right?
As if you were going to go out with me and my friends till 2 a.m. watching like movies. And
I got fisted by Rugger. It was magical.
And I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
Because all intents and purposes, all hoodwinks and hijinks, how was your weekend, Daddy?
I really, despite the travel, despite the stress, I actually really did enjoy it. And the part I enjoyed was the people that go to the event. They're super nice. It is the best sense of community. And we have a great community here in San Francisco, but one of the community in Texas, you almost feel like they're war buddies. You know, they all have each other's back because it is a really scary place to live right now.
Yeah.
And we sit here in our bubble being gay and not thinking about it. They have to look over their back all the time. So they have each other's back. And that's really a magical thing to witness. And that's the part I like the best.
Agreed. Yeah. I give the event a solid 7 out of 10, but I get the community an 11 out of 10.
Yeah.
Like it is a different sense of community there. And it's hard to explain without experiencing
it. Yeah. You have to go immerse yourself in it. And that was a point that was brought up in the On Guard episode and the Q&A section about, you know, liberals on the coast not saying don't spend your money in Texas. Well, we still have brothers and sisters that live there and are fighting the good fight for us
and can't move
nor should they have to.
Yeah,
that's the whole point of this fight, right? We're fighting for our rights, literally. So we need to support them. And the best thing you can do to support them is be with them and show them that you're a friend. And you're an ally. Yeah.
Fight the bad people that are doing the bad stuff, but support the good people like the ACLU, the drag queens that are performing, the funds for in Texas specifically, they have that drag fund. Like it's important that we continue to voice that, but not demonize, not begrudge the people that live there as if it's their fault that terrible people get into power.
Yeah.
They're doing the damnedest to fight that as well. But they have to live and experience that day in and day out, you know? So I guess the way we end this podcast, this constructive criticism of a Texas event, The community's lovely. Y'all are doing the damnedest. Mm-hmm. You guys are doing so much hard work, and thank you for that. But also thank you for having us. Because even with all the kerfuffles, we felt very welcome.
Yeah.
The community there's lovely. Everyone was happy to see us. It was nice to see all the familiar faces from previous years.
Yeah.
And we hope to see you next year as well on Awesome Cake Weekend as well.
Yeah, it's worth it. It is really worth it. It's a good event.
Yeah. So, Daddy, where can people find the sexy fun times that I'm sure you recorded?
I recorded Texas Leatherman and Rugger Canine. Our scenes will be on MrChristopher.com. Or you can check it out on Twitter, Christopher Weston.
And you can find me everywhere at Pop Amp. I posted some of our lovely photos from that photo booth. And I made sure that they were the good ones, too. Not the iPhone ones. At Pup Amp everywhere or pupamp.com for the sexy bits. This has been a What's Your Safe Pod episode at What's the Safer production. And we cannot wait to see you all at the next event. What's next for us? IML?
IML's next.
And we'll see you there.
Bye.
And hey, maybe you want some extra content. Daddy, what can they do if they want extra content?
So stick around for our aftercare podcast where our Patreons, and if you go to patreon.com, what's the safe word, you can join there and you get extra bonus content where today we're going to answer another question for you.
Ooh.